Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Buff Nation.
Let's go.
We are the DMVR Buffs podcast, also DMVR Buffs primetime. We are presented by Illegal Pete's. Check out any of their 10 Colorado locations for happy hour from 3 to 6 p.m. every day. My name is Jake Schwanitz. RK, what is up, my man?
Not much. Much ado about nothing in the snow is what I have to say.
Yeah. Opinions on the snow. Like it or hate it?
I liked it more when I skied. And yes. I just don't have time to ski anymore. But I don't... It's not like... I don't know. The funny thing is, usually when it's snowing, it's not that cold. It's like a weird phenomenon.
Right.
So I don't mind it. Now, it happening like 2 days after I returned from Mexico...
That's rough.
It's a little worse, gotta be honest.
Yeah. I'm not the greatest... I like days like this, but tomorrow when it's like... It's melted and it's all turned into ice... Not my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I'm pretty much an exclusively white sneakers guy.
That's brutal. Yep.
And so it just doesn't, those two things don't work out too well.
Yep.
But, you know, we make it through.
Yes, we do. We got some news today about the schedule. Finally, the Pac-12 slate has been released. That means the Buff schedule in full is finally out. No week zero, but we got week one to week 12, I believe we got.
Yep. RIP week zero. It was a fun podcast.
It was a fun, 36 hours?
Yeah. I didn't like the reporting that suggested as if, like, Coach Prime mentioning it to ESPN was, like, the reason that it got shut down. Mm-hmm. Because from everything I've heard, it had nothing to do with that.
Right.
Obviously, the Buffs were kind of trying to, like, I don't know. I don't really know what the word is. They were trying to find a loophole that would allow them to do that. And they had to go through the NCAA. NCAA shot it down. I really don't think Coach Prime hinting at it on College Game Day had anything to do
with it. No, I don't think so either. People are already asking about YouTube videos. We'll get to YouTube videos. We're going to talk about the schedule first.
Segment three. YouTube videos we watched recently.
Yes.
Really quick.
What it is.
Yesterday, we had, 430 likes before the show ended. Last I checked, I think it's over 900, 20,000 views on the show yesterday. You guys are incredible. Could not appreciate you anymore. And we might as well just start setting new records every day on these likes. Also, I know I told you to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
I wanted to remind you guys that if you ever, you know, want to catch the show and you're in the car, maybe you can't catch us live and you just want to listen, you can find the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. So, iTunes, Spotify, wherever, go there, check it out, download, make sure you're downloading the show. Honestly, even if you you prefer to watch here, you can still subscribe to download the show on iTunes. And if you're going to hop over there, you might as well hit us with a 5-star review while you're there.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Plugs DMVR Buffs podcast, all bases covered.
Slight flex, if you just type in Buffs, we're the first one that shows up.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to start using that now. Yeah. I didn't know that. All right. Throw it up, Kale. Let's get into talking about this thing. We've talked about the non-con quite a bit. I don't know. Do we even have to talk about the non-conference today?
I think the biggest thing is that the ASU game officially not moved to week zero. Mm-hmm. The non-con is a hell of a slate.
It's not kind.
Yeah, and I think that's all you really have to say. You know, I think we're overblowing it maybe a little bit just because TCU is going to be formidable, but they're going to be very different.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska has been shit for a long time.
Yeah.
They made a nice hire at head coach. And we'll see how they look. But they're not like some power.
Right.
It's just a name that we recognize. So it's like, oh, yeah, well, they're not Nickel State. Yeah. You know, like mm-hmm. it feels different, which it is. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Colorado State. Like, Colorado State was trash last year, too. So sometimes I feel like we're just getting caught up in the names. TCU is the one that's like, damn, you got to open with TCU. That doesn't sound fun. The other two are names that we recognize. And so I think a lot of people are talking themselves into those being tougher games than maybe they might end up being.
Right. As we talked about yesterday from the John Canzano report, opening up the Pac-12 slate at Oregon on the 23rd. Week after that, USC is coming to Boulder on the 30th. Week 8 is the bye. Looking at it right there, 4 of the first 7 games are at home. You get 2 games at home in November, back-to-back, Oregon State, Arizona. 2 Friday games also. October 13th, Stanford here in Colorado. And then week 12 at Washington State on a Friday night. That I just don't like the sound of that off the bat. That is some Pac-12 After Dark mayhem waiting to happen.
Yeah, but maybe good Pac-12 After Dark mayhem.
Could be.
It is... It's an interesting schedule. Mm-hmm. I look at it through a couple lenses. First lens is as a fan. From a fan perspective, this is a fantastic
schedule. Yep.
Nebraska and CSU are the first 2 home games. Are you kidding me? Then you get Southern Cal at home. They hate being called Southern Cal, so yeah. I always call them that.
Okay.
Stanford on a Friday night after that. And then, it's a little thing, but it is kind of an advantage for a season ticket holder. The latest game of the season is November 11th. Like, there's a chance you might just get 7 perfect days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually if you get one of those late November games, it's going to be really cold.
Right.
There's a chance that they don't even have a really cold home game next year. Like,
yep.
Of course, it's Colorado. It can get cold in November. But we also will have 65, 70 degree Saturdays in early November. So from a fan perspective, I think this is a 10 out of 10 home slate.
For sure, and some name brands, too. I mean, USC coming in, Stanford, Oregon State's not going to be a slouch this year. Arizona is, I mean, what a recovery from 2 years ago, but who knows exactly how high their ceiling is moving forward.
Right, and they kind of got poached pretty hard in the transfer portal.
Yeah, same with ASU, too. They had a lot of people come in, a lot of people leave also.
Yep.
New coach there, of course. What is your favorite in-conference game matchup? On the schedule that you see, could be for whatever reason, because of when it is, where it is, the timing. Your favorite, though?
Man, I can't take my eyes off this USC game. And maybe it's just because I'm drunk on the Kool-Aid and, you know, it's whatever day, it's mid-January right now, and anything can happen right now in my mind, but I'm just envisioning the Buffs having a winning record at this time, and it's the first conference home game of the Coach Prime era. Mm-hmm. They're taking on USC, who they've never beat before in our history. We've never beat USC, and I just have a feeling about this one. It's going to be Shador versus Caleb Williams, like huge narrative game there. If Shador is going to be, you know, in the conversations that we think he could be in, and I don't know, I just feel like that could be a special night.
Never forget that the Buffs last year took it to USC for the first 20 minutes of the football game.
Yep. Should have been up 10-7?
10-3 or 10-7.
Yeah, something like that. If JT Stroud it's the easiest pass of all time.
I look at this October 7th game at Arizona State. One, because I think we're probably going to end up going to that.
Yeah, we're going.
So that'll be 3 straight games we get to see at home against USC. Then we go to Phoenix to watch them play Arizona State. And then we get that Stanford game on a Friday night. That's just going to be such a fun stretch. But also because Arizona State is a team that's received a lot of hype also. I mean, a lot of people liked Kenny Dillingham. They've been working the transfer portal themselves. They are feeling really good, particularly the PHNX Sun Devil guys, about where they're at. And I just think that it's going to be a clash. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, so for those of you guys who don't know, we have multiple branches of our company, which started here in Denver. And one of them is in Phoenix. So they have PHNX Sun Devils, where they do a show similar to ours. And they've been a little chirpy over there. And it's all in good fun. We like those guys. But that one's going to be fun. A couple of years ago when they played at Arizona State, Henry and I went down there. And we did like a beer Olympics against them. So maybe we'll have to do something similar. Okay. We'll get some content out of that. And go to the game. And should be a fun one. And, I mean, you'd prefer to have at Arizona State later.
Mm-hmm.
Just you want that as late as possible.
Right.
But October, not the worst.
No, for sure. Utah, last game of the season again. This one in Salt Lake City also. I mean, we've seen so many Utah games in the snow towards the end of the season. They came to Boulder last year. I remember it was cold. It wasn't like freezing.
Mm-mm.
It was a little chilly. Perfect weather, though, otherwise. That's going to be a fun one. Kind of a measuring stick matchup there, just in terms of where Colorado ranks up at the end of the season.
And who knows what stakes. It's so hard to know, like, just because we have no precedent on this team.
Yeah.
What they're going to look like, how good they're going to be. You know, we're obviously counting on them meshing quickly. And they're going to have to because they get thrown right into the fire as soon as the season starts. There's a world in which that Utah game has massive implications.
For sure.
And I think about that, like, so none of this is official, but I'm like, I'm imagining we'll be at TCU. We'll do something down there. There's going to be a million Buffs fans. There's already a ton that live in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do like some sort of meetup down there, live show. Again, just talking out loud here.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Arizona State because obviously we have roots there with PHNX. And then I'm just thinking, like, well, what are we going to do? Not go to Utah if there's huge implications in the last game of the season?
Where my parents live.
Yeah, there we go. You know the drive.
Yeah.
So, and it's the day after Thanksgiving. So, you know, we'll go have Thanksgiving dinner with your family.
Let's go.
And then,
they'd be so stoked.
Yeah. Or maybe 2 days after Thanksgiving. But either way, this season could be a lot of fun if they can gel.
I'm glad you hit that point because I was going to ask you how many games are we going to on the road?
Well, I'm looking at three right now. I mean, who's to say? Why not Halloween in LA?
I love it. Yeah, that's just super exciting. Let's set an over-under here.
The people in charge of the travel budget are pulling their hair out right now listening to the show.
Yeah, it's going to Buff Nation's going to show up this year, too. I'm expecting to see a lot of black and gold in... let's see, at Fort Worth, at Autzen, in Phoenix, in LA, all these games.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you look at these, one of the biggest alumni bases that CU has is in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So that one is going to be insane.
Yeah.
And just like the, like people like me who, even if I wasn't on the show, I'd be going to that game. Like, you have to go to Coach Prime's first game. But one of the big reasons why Colorado moved to the Pac-12, which is a much maligned move, I guess, at this point, was because of the alumni bases they have in California. So, like, at UCLA, at the Rose Bowl, is going to be a huge one. If the Buffs are competitive and relevant, we travel, man. Like, big time we travel. So, I see, you know, everything other than at Washington State. I don't imagine a lot of people making it up to the Palouse.
On a Friday, too.
On a Friday.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think you're going to see big, big Buffs contingencies at all of these games.
People have been mentioning that one of the other sports books out there has an over-under set at 4.5. Would you think that number needs to be higher?
Yes.
6.5?
So 6.5 is the first place where you get me to start thinking a little bit about it. And not because I don't have confidence in them, just because of what I said earlier. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll never even, I guess we will get to see them practice. That's a nice change that we think in the Coach Prime era, we're going to be able to watch them practice at least more than we have been before.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully unlimited.
Right.
We'll see. You know, I don't want to set my expectations too fast, but it's so hard. Like, at least in the NFL, you get to see a preseason game or two. You get a little bit of an idea depending on what team you're following. Like, okay, like, that's what the squad looks like.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be basing it off of watching them play against each other, and trying to decide what this team is. But 4.5, I'm hitting that with the golden hammer.
For sure. The Buffs have been catching, I don't want to say strays, but some disrespect on Twitter already. people saying, I don't see this more than a 2-win team again.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely absurd. If you just watched any type of Buffs football last year, there's just no way they're going to be that bad again.
No, those anyone who says anything like that does not pay attention whatsoever.
Yep.
Legitimately. And, you know, this is Twitter, so we shouldn't be surprised that people who have no clue what they're talking about are right. running their mouths. But it is true. Like, if you just... They have the number one transfer class in the country. And it's not just because of, you know, the size of it, like a lot of people want to say. Not even all of those players have been ranked yet. Mm-hmm. So they have the number one transfer class in the country because they brought in Travis Hunter, the highest rated available transfer in the country.
The only 5-star in the portal.
Yes. They brought in Shedeur Sanders, who is the best quarterback they've had in a long, long time. Those people are just looking at a team that won one game last year. And then looking at some of the names on the schedule, yes, of course, you know, Oregon, USC, UCLA, at Utah. And they're seeing those things and just going, oh, yeah, well, that 1-win team from last year isn't going to be able to compete with those Pac-12 powers. And they're going to be in for a nice surprise.
Yes. Any final takeaways before we move on?
What was I going to say? Yeah, I was just, I think a lot of people, someone pointed out to me on Twitter and said 2 home games in the last 7 weeks. As I look at it here, it's actually 2 home games in the last 6 weeks. That's a weird way to look at it, though, because it's really 2 out of the last 4 are at home, which is fine. And then you have a bye and then at UCLA in the other part of that 6 weeks, which is, you know, it's not like you're on the road for the bye. You got Stanford at home, then you have your bye, then you're at UCLA, then you're back home. There's no bad stretches here.
Yeah.
Maybe you'd like to flop Arizona and Washington State just so you can alternate at the end of the season. But I think by and large, I tweeted this out, Jake, so let's answer this question. Did the schedule break 4 or against the Buffs?
I don't know. It feels pretty fair, honestly.
Yeah, I think it broke 4 them. And I think it's because of that October stretch.
Okay.
You go through a gauntlet to start the season.
Right.
And by then, I think you are going to be battle tested. And then you start October with a Friday home. You get at Arizona State. Then you have Friday game against Stanford. Then you have a bye. Then you have at UCLA. Mm-hmm. Like, I really like that. And then you roll that into Oregon State and Arizona at home. I think you can build a lot of momentum there. Sure. And so it's close. I think you're right. It's a fair schedule. They didn't get any really tough breaks. I think the toughest break about it is at Oregon and then SC at home to start things. Right. But other than that, I feel like they got a pretty fair shake on this schedule.
Well, that's the thing. You want your toughest stretch, I think, at the front rather than at the back like last year.
Yes.
So,
because what happened last year was they were cooked early.
The season was over.
And the season was just, like, I literally remember saying to you, like, I don't really know what else there is to watch other than Jordan Tyson. And then the next week, Jordan Tyson tore his ACL.
Yeah.
So, like, this year, no matter what, like, no matter how they start, you're still going to be able to look at that finish and say, still got a shot.
Yep.
For whatever, you know, goal you may have.
You get a bye week smack in the middle, too. I mean,
yeah.
You can complain about it, but there's good and bad on this schedule, I see.
I would like to trade at Washington State and at Arizona State the dates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you don't have to go up to wherever in Washington that is. And, you know, in the winter, it's always shitty there.
Right.
I feel like every game we ever play there, there's like wind and like sleet. So that sucks. But other than that, I'd say if it was a fair schedule.
Yeah. We'll be talking a lot more about it. Shout out to our friends over at Jive Hive. That's JiveHyve. They are a virtual dispensary on wheels that offers convenient pricing, privacy, and security. They can do discreet deliveries. If you've been home partying, deliver right to your door. Visit JiveHyve.com. Again, that's JiveHyve.com. And get your order delivered the same day or schedule a delivery window. We'll be there to say hi. Head over to JiveHyve.com and enter your address to find out if Jive Hive can deliver to your door. They are now serving in Aurora, Greenville Village, Monument, Fountain, and various areas of El Paso County. That's JiveHyve.com. Also, shout out to Illegal Pete's. Illegal Pete's has an endless options of fresh ingredients that can fit almost any diet or dietary restriction. As I mentioned at the top, 10 Colorado locations, happy hour 3 to 6 p.m. every day. Try the refreshing Hop Lark Citra at any Illegal Pete's location. It's everything you love about an ice cold beer, except it's dry January friendly. Illegal Pete's, always our go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beer.
Legitimately.
Yes, 100%. Okay, just a few things we need to touch on today. We'll catch up on YouTube, of course, too. The portal closes today.
A thing that the Buffs have been so irrelevant when it came to the portal. Yeah. I didn't know it was a thing.
Maybe a couple of years ago, they were dying for this day to come because that meant people couldn't
close
leave anymore.
The portal, please. Yeah. When you think of this, do you not imagine that like there's like this big like circular portal and it's like
yeah,
and it closes? Like I can't not.
It's like
think
a wormhole in space.
Yes,
like an interstellar. You know, it just like closes up.
It's oh, I cannot not think of it that way. Or like, what's that Disney Halloween movie, Halloween Town?
Yes.
When like the portal to Halloween Town closes,
right?
You have to like get out by midnight or whatever it is.
Platform 9 3/4 in Harry Potter.
Exactly. Like there's just that's exactly how I imagine in my head. They're closing it down.
This closes the first 45-day window. I don't remember when it started. Go back 45 days from today. It's a 60-day total opening for the transfer portal during the or I guess during the off season. The next window is going to be May 1st to 15th, only 15 days. After that, people will have to wait until they either lose a head coach. I think there's some, like what Colorado State did. If you have a new head coach, you can enter the portal.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to the Buffs? If your team fires a head coach, the portal opens, I think, for 4 weeks or 28 days. We only saw one player, Brendan Lewis, take advantage of that last year.
Yep.
So we'll see. Point being, though, these are the guys that have entered the portal now that Colorado has to choose from. We'll see what happens maybe over the next day or two. I know that the transfer portal isn't like it's not instant.
Yeah,
it takes a while for a lot of these things to process. So we may be getting some announcements maybe the next day or two. But these are pretty much the guys that they have to go after. We'll see exactly how many they pull in now.
Yeah, what's interesting is, so yesterday you saw two guys hit it, right? Yeah. In JT Shrout and
Maurice Bell.
Maurice Bell. I wanted to say Ronnie Bell. That's the Michigan kid? Is that who that I'm thinking of?
Who was Ronnie Bell?
I think that's the Michigan wide receiver.
Yes, it was.
So anyways, Maurice Bell, which I don't know. I guess I was kind of pulling for him after that question to Coach Prime where he was like so scared to ask, but... it just didn't work out for him, I guess.
This is his second time entering the portal this offseason.
Right. He entered it, then was like, oh, Coach Prime's coming, let me hop back out.
Yeah.
And then I guess saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
In a normal world, he probably would have played for the Buffs this year.
Right.
But we no longer live in the normal.
Yep. Anything else on the portal, I guess?
Yes. I'd like to know like an exact moment. Like, is it like a Halloween Town? Does it close at midnight?
Yeah.
Like, I would assume they're trying to usher some guys into it as we speak.
Right.
If that's the case, and maybe there will be some news tomorrow that a guy's jumped in. But we believe, you probably know, the Buffs are 8 scholarships over the limit right now. Now. I don't believe it matters to get under until you get to week one.
I think you have
to,
yes, it's when you play games.
So there's plenty of time, you can, May it'll open back up and maybe there'll be more clarity after spring football for some of these guys that, oh, I just don't fit in on this roster.
Right.
But regardless, it wouldn't be a problem if 4 or 5 guys decided to hit the portal before it closes today.
That's a funny comment.
What?
Tyler Brown. On3 has been reporting. He's been reporting all day. On3 has that many players are entering the portal still. So as I mentioned, we'll start to still see names over the next few days.
You can actually bring that up. That's hilarious. The reason I want to bring it up is because when I was in school, gosh, I wish I could remember this kid's name. But when I first started covering the Buffs, there was this kid who was going to be a seventh year senior. maybe sixth. I don't even know if you could get to seven back then. He was going to be a six-year senior, and I wrote this story about him, and I wrote like four or five little jokes in the story about how old he was. And like, you know, I'm 18 at the time or whatever. And Adam Munstertiger, who was my editor at the time, read through the story and was like, hey, I think there's like a couple too many, like he might be offended by some of this. Cause I wrote like, oh, his freshman season when he played under Dal Ward. And like, and Adam was like, I think you can get away with one or two of these jokes, but you might like offend him with every other paragraph has a joke about how old he is.
We go through it every year. There's always a quarterback who plays well in their sixth or seventh year. Last year it was Kenny Pickett. Was getting all the jokes. This year it's Stetson. Next year, I don't know. DTR is finally gone.
Thank God. Oh, it'll be, I don't know. Is Tanner Morgan still going to be at Minnesota?
He could be. He's been there for forever, too.
There's that kid at Oregon who applied for an eighth year.
Wasn't it like a tight end or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Insane. All right. Moving on. This came through on Monday, and I thought this was super interesting. CU is now a client of Real Analytics, R-E-E-L. Real Analytics provides tracking data to assist in player evaluation. They also provide in-game speed and athleticism numbers for transfer portal and high school prospects, as well, of course, as people on current rosters. Kind of like NFL Next Gen Stats, you know, how they're, you'll see it throw up during the game. This was their top speed on the play. I just thought this was really cool, and it's relevant because Coach Prime used this service to build his roster at Jackson State, who also heavily utilized the transfer portal. Just another tool, and some interesting things. They have the, what is called an IGA, which I'm assuming means in-game athleticism.
You're you're just guessing on that one?
That they have the in-game athleticism thing in there a lot.
Okay, all right.
So that's what I thought it was.
I thought you were just like, saw IGA and you're like, I think this would stand for in-game athleticism.
two will be buffs and one
will be buff.
Okay, you said it, not me. On this list that were relevant, wide receiver Omarion Miller, he's a four-star guy, already signed to CU. 99.7 out of 100 in-game athleticism score.
So I'm kind of looking at this like RAS, but yes, almost more valuable than RAS, because RAS is all based off of your testing at the combine and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. George Payton, who, you know, gave some bad contracts out, but has done a good job drafting and landing some diamonds on the rough, such as, you know, Baron Browning.
Right.
All about this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'll see he rarely takes a guy who's not in the nines when it comes to RAS. And I assume that's something that Coach Prime, you know, is in line with. One of like the worst kept secrets in all of college football is it's just all about speed. Like, it's like Madden. Mm-hmm. And it's not quite like that in the NFL because everyone is so fast. Like, the linebackers are running 4.4s.
Right.
But in college, if you have a really fast team, you just win a bunch of games because of it. I mean, Chip Kelly in Oregon kind of revolutionized that, but it holds true to this day. And even like Saban, who for the longest time was running like this like heavy pro style offense and was like not essentially getting these crazy 4.3, you know, Devontae Smiths and who's the other guy? Jameson Williams, like they weren't always doing it that way. Yeah. And even he started to realize like, oh, speed in college football is just the easiest way to win. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed this with Coach Prime. Almost all of the guys that he's going after are extremely athletic, but also extremely fast. And Omarion Miller is another great example.
Yep. He had a video. I can't remember if it was at some Under Armour high school all-star event over the weekend. I tweeted out. I don't know if you saw it, but there was just a just 45 seconds of what Omarion Miller was doing to kids out there.
No.
His route running is...
Oh, man.
I'll pull it up. We can maybe show it on today's show, too. Next guy, though, had a 96.7 in-game athleticism score. Tajay McCoy, the edge. The three-star kid out of Oklahoma, signed to the Buffs on early signing day on the 21st. We talked yesterday about how these grad transfers coming in at edge are going to really bolster this team. Seems like you got a young bull in Tajay McCoy, though.
Yes, that's exciting. And he was one of the ones who was a late bloomer with his athleticism. And so for him to kind of skyrocket.
Yeah, when we watched him.
Yep. His junior tape was like, okay. His senior tape was like, holy shit. So really interesting. And I wonder if Coach Prime, and it'd be interesting to talk to him about this once we get him on the show. I won't say if we get him on the show. Does he think that this is a way to kind of bridge the gap or make it a little bit easier to evaluate high school prospects? Because there's so many variables that go into evaluating high school prospects. The biggest one being, how is their quality of competition?
Right.
You know, there's guys who can dominate at much lower levels, and then all of a sudden they go up against guys their own size and they don't. But I wonder if these sort of analytics, he believes, and one of the reasons why he likes it is because he thinks, okay, well, this doesn't take it, like, this is independent of who they're playing against. It's just telling me about them. How athletic are they?
I like that. Last guy on the list is, of course, Cormani McClain, 95.5 in-game athleticism score. Kale, I sent you that tweet of Ormarion Miller. Or actually, this was Adam Hopkins, sorry. Do you still want to watch Adam Hopkins, though? Tear up some high school kids?
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. I remember this a little bit more. But yes, let's absolutely watch Adam Hopkins. Four-star, of course, who committed to the Buffs.
Right.
Right on signing day, I believe.
But he is breaking ankles in that clip. And it really shows off how well he tracks the ball, too. Look at how smooth he is.
Did a pirouette on that one.
Four-star out of Thomasville, Georgia. Signed on early signing day, December 21st. Just wide open there.
Jeez, he created separation on that one. Goodness gracious. Oh, one of those was on Desmond Ricks.
Does anyone know in the comments, by the way, is he related to Eli Ricks?
Gotta be.
Now at Alabama, I believe.
This is impressive. If you like these Adam Hopkins highlights, hit us with a like.
Hell yeah.
I don't think we're on pace, Jake, to beat yesterday's numbers.
Yeah, come on, guys. you set the bar really high yesterday.
I know. Now I'm just like, our expectations are blown out of proportion.
What else do we got here? Let's talk about some YouTube.
Let's go.
A few days ago.
YouTube Corner.
YouTube Corner. Part two of Coach Prime's meeting with his support staff came out. It's interesting to watch. I think you should watch it for sure.
Okay.
But the biggest takeaway, at one point, Coach Prime, I believe he's talking to the equipment manager or something. He goes, we're going to order more uniforms. I want more change than Lady Gaga.
Let's go. I think a lot of Buffs fans are very uneasy about this. And I get it to an extent. Colorado has always had a very traditional look.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people are gatekeeping that a little bit, but I also think that there is a time and a place where we just have to move on from worrying about what we normally look like, or, you know, obviously black and gold is going to be there. Kale, if you could bring it on me, but it's one of those things where it's just like, it's not about what we like. As much as I would say, like, let's go gold helmet, black jersey, black pants all day long. And on the road, give me like the stormtrooper or whatever. Like, what gets these kids fired up is seeing a new uniform every week.
Right.
Like, that legitimately makes a difference.
Yep.
So are we more married to looking like we're used to looking, or do we want to play like we used to play?
Right.
And win championships and compete for Pac-12 championships? Like, maybe that's not the only thing that makes a difference, but why wouldn't you take every little advantage that you get? Coach Prime gets this, so no one has any say in it anyway other than him. But I think everyone just needs to, like, set it aside. There's probably going to be a look that they put out there that you don't like.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Yep.
It really doesn't. So I just I wanted to set that out there for people because I just know there's going to be some like hand-wringing over. We're not that kind of. We are now, mm-hmm. and it's going to help us win. Get over it.
I'll say that on this topic, as you kind of mentioned, fans can be weird with uniforms. And it's a lot of times because like a uniform can almost bring back a memory of a certain play or a game, yep. even, right? Coach Prime era is here. You're gonna need uniforms to mark these times.
That's a great point.
So whether it's these new ones or however many are whether these old ones and however many new ones they end up getting, it's not a bad thing to kind of mix it up and, you know, let the kids have fun with their 1,700 combinations or whatever.
They should. They should. And what you'll see is like every recruit will come in, especially when you have a ton of different mixes. Every recruit will come in and they'll be wearing a different one because mm-hmm. that's the one that they think is the coolest.
Yeah.
Rather than being like, well, these are our three options, so right. pick one. It's yep. like, okay, you can wear the gold uniform, you can wear the silver uniform, the black, the white. We have that helmet, we have the metallic helmet, we have the helmet with the horns on it. Mm-hmm. Like, go crazy.
Yep.
Give them all the options in the world. I know deep down, no one cares about anything but winning, but everyone's going to always have something to complain about. This one will happen. I'm begging you. Just let it happen.
Yes.
Just embrace it.
Well said. One more thing to get to. Make sure you guys get your questions in now. Hit that thumbs up button. We will get to those very, very shortly.
Let's go.
Love that. But many people were talking about it today because it came out on our show yesterday when we were live. The Travis Hunter destroying video. It's basically just a tour of the facilities, which is already on YouTube and we've already seen before.
Yep.
But it's interesting. You get to see Travis in his element. He's joking around. I mean, you're going to love it from that perspective for sure. And the stormtroopers were out in the snow. And my God.
That clip is so fire.
Yes.
And again, just confirms they will be wearing the Stormtroopers week one at TCU.
Have to.
It's the lock of all locks.
Have to, man.
Shador did his announcement in it. Travis is doing the destroying video with it. But that one, that video with the snow on the field, that hit.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Also, just going off memory of other things on YouTube, we're seeing a lot more of our guy, Tyler Brown. He's around the facility quite a lot. Yep.
He's a great character.
Great man. Yep. Trying to think what else.
By the way, the destroying story is so cool, or destroying.
Yeah.
We had heard this, obviously, the story of, you know, the kid who had to choose between YouTube or college football. And I didn't put that together when everyone was saying, oh, he released the video of Travis Hunter, mm-hmm. that was him. I just love that. Like,
yep.
any middle finger to the NCAA, you yes. know, one of the OGs of NCAA middle fingers was skiing with Shador Sanders this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it? Yep. The picture of Jeremy Bloom yep. with Shador. Jeremy Bloom, of course, was an Olympic mogul skier who was playing for Colorado. And the NCAA tried to say, you can't accept sponsorship money for your Olympics run if you're going to play college football. And so he had to step away from CU. He was my favorite player at the time. Just electric speed, like punt returner, mm-hmm. you know, caught some long touchdowns, big plays, and was just so fun to watch. Super shifty, and had to give it up because the NCAA was going to essentially stop him from doing what he was incredible at, yeah. just skiing moguls. Yeah, absolutely. And then he ended up getting drafted by the Eagles, didn't do much in the NFL, and, you know, stuck with skiing. But he was kind of an original trailblazer for pushing back on some of this NCAA bullshit. And thankfully, now someone like Travis Hunter, who has a huge growing YouTube channel, can make money off of that, as obviously everyone should have always been able to
right.
do.
Mm-hmm. Someone mentioned in the comments, just what a recruiting tool too. This guy's got 4.5 plus million subscribers. You're already seeing Travis Hunter on there. How many other five stars and just insane athletes are going to see that and go, I want to be at Colorado because I want to be in the video with Travis and destroying.
I mean, it's unbelievable. The I would maybe say millions of new eyes that have been on Colorado in the last month is just insane. I mean, think about it. Coach Prime's on every single show wearing a Buffs gear. He's on the Manning cast. He's on McAfee. He's on College Game Day. He's on CBS Mornings. He's on everything. Then you've obviously got just the news break of Coach Prime coming to see you, which was on everything. You've got this video going out to 4 million subscribers, which is, by the way, a totally different demo than what any of the places we just talked about.
Yep.
And maybe the most important demo, which is like football players.
Yeah.
Young football
kids,
players
yeah.
who are on YouTube. It's just remarkable. I wish there was like a reliable way to track how many new people know about and are interested in Colorado. And we're absolutely going to see it in the enrollment numbers and application numbers as soon as this year.
Right, for sure. That video, almost up to 700,000 views. 700,000 people have seen what CU's facilities look like. Travis Hunter in the Stormtroopers.
If we get a few more likes, we might be able to get this to 700,000.
Let's go. While you guys are liking this video, I'm going to tell you all about our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook, where, of course, the NFL season is winding down. It's NFL divisional round this week, my favorite week of the NFL season. Are you a divisional round guy, or are you otherwise?
I like it all. I like it all. This is a good one, though, and I know you were sitting over there when we were doing bets. Mm-hmm. Last year, the divisional round almost was four road dogs. If the Bills had won that crazy game against the Chiefs,
they should have won.
The Chiefs scored in 12 seconds or whatever it was.
Yes.
That would have been four road dogs that won in the divisional round last year.
There you go. You're on notice now. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. You can also boost your same game parlays up to 100%. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code DMVR, where new customers can bet $5 on the NFL divisional round to get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code DMVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Also, shout out to Backus and Shanker. When you get hurt, Backus and Shanker are here to help. They are free until they win money for your case. No upfront fee to speak with them. No upfront fee while they work on your case. You only pay them if you win. They have won over $1 billion for their clients. Backus and Shanker helps with all kinds of injury cases where you weren't at fault. Car accidents, motorcycles, rideshare, pedestrians, trucks. We can even help if you're injured at work. Call us at 222-2222. Just keep hitting the 2 button until you get to them.
Perfect. As I said on the Bronco show yesterday, I think a girl gave me that number at a bar once.
Oh, no. That's brutal. Call them to find out if you have a case for free. Backus and Shanker wins. All right.
Questions?
Let's do it. Yep. Let's do it. Do we have a big run stuffer DT? Okay, and I saw these comments right when we started, too. A lot of people are asking who 99 was in the well-off video. That's Jalen Sami.
What video was he in?
It was the last Opulence one.
Okay.
I think it came out late last night. It's called See You.
Okay. I didn't see that one.
S-E-E-Y-O-U. Yeah.
One, 2 days where you don't watch videos and you're just out of the loop.
Yep. He needs some work though. So, they've got some big bodies. I won't say they have like a certified run stuffer though.
I think I'm higher on Sami than you are.
Yeah.
I think that he was a victim of the defense last year more than a problem of the defense.
Oh, for sure. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. And then they also brought in the kid from Fresno State.
Right. Leonard Payne.
Yep. Great name.
So, yeah, they've got some beef. How many of these games do you expect to be televised nationally instead of on the Pac-12 channel? That's a great question.
That's a really good question.
The Buffs were Pac-12 network regulars last year.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's just start here. Oregon, SC, guaranteed.
No chance, yeah.
Those are on national television. At Arizona State, that feels like an FS1 game to me.
Okay.
Stanford at home on a Friday, guaranteed national television. That's why it's on Friday.
Yep.
At UCLA.
Rose Bowl, baby. Come on.
Yeah, that's probably national. This is where it gets a little more dicey. Oregon State at home, we'll see. Arizona at home, we'll see. Washington State's on a Friday. That's a guaranteed. Yeah, right.
I'm dying.
Take your time. I'll keep talking.
You're good.
Washington State. What was I just saying? Washington State on a Friday is a guaranteed national TV game, and then finally Utah, almost definitely going to be national TV. So I'm looking here at two games: home to Oregon State, home to Arizona, as the only two that I think are really in question. And then you could add Arizona State. So I'll call it now. 9 national TV games at the least.
With that Utah game, though, it depends on the stakes, I think, too. Because if Utah's already undefeated and have kind of wrapped up a Pac-12 title game, you know, maybe not a ESPN or ABC headliner. So
yeah, we'll see. That's fair.
What else we got, Kale? E-Love, what's up, man? Did you see Travis Hunter dunking like Ja Morant? I didn't watch the full video, but yeah, man, he just, it's crazy the bunnies that guy has. He can dunk on almost anyone.
Dude, he has that, there's like this new age type of athleticism. I don't know how to explain it other than like, I hadn't really seen it until Jerry Jeudy came along.
Right. I know what you mean.
And it's like this like long, shifty, bouncy, super quick, that didn't used to exist.
Right. Yep.
I don't like, and Cormani has it too.
He does.
And so yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what to call that, but it's this insane athleticism that's like, why are you, like, I don't know how to explain it, but you know what I mean if you've watched Jerry Jeudy or anyone like that.
In the mentions to that Adam Hopkins video and in the comments just now, people were talking about Jerry Jeudy when watching him.
Yep.
What else we got, Kale? Would you guys have preferred the Week 0 ASU game that was canceled? I think so.
Yes. Absolutely.
You get another bye week, too, from it.
The only thing is I thought CU fans got a little crazy, like, putting that game in Vegas without any reason. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, they just played in Vegas.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have wanted Week 0 straight up at Arizona State. But Wilner, I think it was, or one of the national guys, hinted that it was going to be in Boulder at one point. And then when it was shut down, they said there will no longer be a Week 0 game in Boulder.
Huh.
So, like, I don't know if they were going to trade a 2-for-1 type of thing.
Right,
not like,
right.
But to just say, like, we'll give us 2 in a row and then we'll give you the next 2 in a row or something like that. Who knows?
I mean, they're obviously interested in Week 0, so we'll keep an eye this time next year if something comes up. So.
Yeah.
Over under a fans at the Rocky Mountain show is going to be sold out, dude.
Well, it's in Boulder this time, so it's not sold out. Even if it was at Mile High, like it has been for like the last 10 years, it still probably would have been sold out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at Folsom. Every game at Folsom is going to be sold out.
Yep.
Best part is far less Rams fans.
Yes, for sure. James asks, how many years before Denver hosts a Walmart-sponsored bowl game?
Oh, that's a kind of a Broncos question, I guess.
Yeah.
Not many, as long as it takes for them to build that new stadium.
Do you think they're getting a new stadium out here?
I do.
Yeah.
Now, they're putting like $100 million or whatever into the current Mile High.
Yeah, I drive by it every day, and they're doing a bunch of stuff out really? To it. Yeah.
Interesting. So that'll hold them over for a little bit, but it doesn't preclude them from building a new stadium. I think it's only a matter of time before they build a new stadium out by the airport.
That sucks.
With like a whole city around it that I'm just already calling Waltonville. and the Waltons are going to own all of the real estate around it. And they're going to build a whole city off of making a football stadium. But it's going to suck because Denver is one of the few places where every team plays in downtown.
Yep.
And on the other hand, it's probably going to look like Jerry World or SoFi. So that'll be kind of cool.
Dome?
I'm calling retractable.
Okay. E-Love, here you go, Ryan. Why is there so much hate on Tim Brewster's video? Is everybody just soft now?
This is one of the weirdest things ever. And I think it's all just the anti-Colorado Coach Prime pushback.
PhDs.
Yeah. Someone said don't even call him Prime. Meridians, don't associate them with Prime. Just call him Meridians. I don't hate that. But I'm just going to stick with haters. I just think they're looking for anything that they can try to pull on the Buffs right now. But I don't get it, E-Love. all the only thing I can really pull from is to say, I don't think these people have ever been exposed to football that closely.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they see like a rallying speech from like Nick Saban in the locker room before the national championship.
He knows the camera's on.
Right. But yeah. I just don't think people are seeing like the way that football coaches actually interact with football players.
Yeah.
But I'm blown away at the response to that because it's the most normal football coach, football player interaction that like I can think of. It's obviously a little bit turned up.
Right.
But like he didn't curse anyone out or
no.
talk poorly to anyone. He just it was like a rallying, like
he literally told players to stand up.
Yeah.
That's all he did.
And it was cool. They all stood up real quick and in unison.
Yeah, really exhausting those players on the first meeting. Hello, guys. Just joining. So you guys see a clear path to above 500 in a winning season. Do we see above 500 in a winning season?
I do. I think the clear path involves winning two of the first three. And then if you win, if you get two. So like I said, Nebraska and Colorado State aren't good programs.
Mm-hmm.
Like we just have to make sure we keep that in mind. Those aren't, you know, Nebraska was
right.
Same with us. We were
right.
Both schools are fighting to get back.
Mm-hmm.
Little known fact, Colorado has won a conference championship more recently than Nebraska.
Yes, sir.
So both schools are fighting to get back, but it's not like that's a game the Buffs will probably be favored in.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado State, they're going to be heavily favored in.
Yep.
So there you go. Win two out of the first three. Then if you do that, let's just jump straight to October. Forget about Oregon and SC. You got to win four of Arizona State, Stanford at home, at UCLA, Oregon State at home, Arizona at home, at Washington State, at Utah. Just look at those. Like, you just win the three home games.
Yeah.
Stanford, Oregon State, Arizona. You'll be you should be favored in all of those.
Mm-hmm.
And now you just need to find one more win at Arizona State, at Washington State. Obviously, the most difficult ones at UCLA, at Utah.
Yep.
So clear, do I see a clear path? I would say yes, I do see a clear path. Where the challenge lies is being ready fast.
Yep.
And I think that this coaching staff, which is so qualified, has their hands full, but if there's anyone that can do it, I think it's them. They've got to be ready. I'd say by week one, they really have to be really ready. They got to be like in gear by week two when you face Nebraska.
Right. I mean, and if you can steal one of these games, potentially against TCU, Oregon, USC, UCLA, Utah, I mean, and win the games that you're supposed to win,
mm-hmm.
who knows?
And like, again, we're looking at this schedule on paper and saying the teams that are good are going to be good. Every year there's teams that regress, you know, mm-hmm. surprisingly, or who's to say someone doesn't get injured? I'll touch wood because I don't ever want to see anyone get injured, but a top player for a team gets injured, their whole season is changed. So that's just on paper. There are certainly six winnable games, and I don't think you even have to take it beyond that.
Love that. My guy Samad with a super chat. New boom, top 10. Here we go. Top 10. Tresman Marshall, linebacker. Jacob Hood, offensive line. Keanu Williams, defensive tackle. Jaheim Singletary, defensive back. Demoy Kennedy, linebacker. Eric Gilbert, tight end. Lyneth Whitehead, running back. Marquise Robinson, DT. Keontae Goodwin, offensive lineman. And Dominic Blaylock, wide receiver. Samad has been on it. He sends me his top 10 most desired players pretty often.
I love it. Is Eric Gilbert still available?
He
committed somewhere. But I could be wrong. I'll take your guys' word for it.
I got some info on him that off-field is a concern.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
279 likes.
Yep.
21 away from 300. Let's get it.
Pump it up. I don't know if we'll be able to get through all of these, but we'll try our best here, Kel. So what are your thoughts on having Travis and Cromani locking down the corners? This kid coming or not? Your thoughts? He's coming, and it would be amazing.
I think he's coming for sure. And, I mean, press man on the outside with two of the best corners in the nation.
Yep.
Doesn't get much easier for a defensive coordinator.
Yep. For the pass rushers either. What's the minimum number of wins for this season to be a success? I mean, anything more than one, I think, is an accomplishment, honestly. But where would you set it?
I'm going to say five.
Five? Love that. Setting
and
your standards.
Five high. Is going to be like some fans will still be disappointed.
Sure. It's missing a bowl game. You should be disappointed.
Right, right. So, but I think in the end, you'll be able to look back and say Coach Prime multiplied the wins by five.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty damn good.
Yep.
But I'm giving a little extra leeway there. I think most fans would say it's probably a bowl game.
We have almost 1,000 people in the chat right now. Smash that thumbs up button while we finish out the show. Jamel, what is up, man? He asks, how are the Pac-12 championship teams decided? So they went away with divisions last year. It was just purely top two conference records.
Another thing that we were so far away from, I didn't even know happened.
Yeah.
Until the game.
Yep. Yeah. they just changed it last year. We'll see. I mean, they're obviously in flux in terms of realignment and stuff. So,
but winning percentage, right?
Pretty sure.
Conference winning percentage is what it is.
Because it got really, really complicated that last week because Oregon was still in it. Utah was still in it. USC was still in it. And Washington had an outside shot too. So it was really complicated.
Yep.
James asks, if a player enters the portal and doesn't find a school to pick them up, does the closing of the portal trap them, forcing them to essentially walk on instead?
No. Well, I mean, I guess if no one picks you up, but I think what he means is like right now. If the portal closes right now, you can commit whenever, and that's what you mentioned at the beginning.
Yes.
You just can't enter the portal after today.
And from what I've seen, players can just withdraw their names, and they're like back on their roster.
Yeah, that is a weird thing. It feels like there should maybe like... I'm all for the player. It's hard for me to swallow, but I think I'm all for the players just being able to choose where the best situation is for them. It does feel like there should be some sort of consequence so that they can't just do it because they had a bad day.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have to really think, okay, do I want to do this? Because once I do it, it's permanent.
Yeah. Yep. No, I agree. Ryan J. with the question for us. Have you read the Athletic piece on the whirlwind that was hiring of Coach Prime? Very well done and a must. I have not.
I got
something to read now, too.
There you go. We got reading homework.
Watching homework.
Watching homework. I didn't do my homework. Now I'm getting yelled at.
There you go. Come on, man. You're going to flunk out. Is the new TV deal going to be effective this year or next? When will it be announced? So it's not effective this year. It is for 2024 and beyond. As to when it's going to be announced, I don't know, man. I've been checking, I feel like, weekly since October on just news on it. So,
I mean, it took them forever just to announce the schedule.
Yeah. Hopefully by the season. I feel like that's even optimistic at this point because the Big 12 one didn't come through until October, I think.
I wonder if the Pac-12 would prefer to see the numbers that come out when Coach Prime is coaching or to go with the allure of what it could be before there's actual numbers on it. And I don't know which one is going to be better. We obviously know that Coach Prime arriving jacked our numbers up crazy.
Uh-huh.
But the question is like that, let's just say that TCU game, actually they don't have that one, the Nebraska game, like how big are the numbers going to be on that?
Yeah.
It could be insane.
Mm-hmm.
And then... You throw that at Amazon Prime and say,
right,
here you go. This is what you're missing out on.
That game against Nebraska could be like one of the top 10 most viewed college football games next season.
Very well.
It's not even like out of the question. It could absolutely be up there. Buzzer beater super chat from Sean. What's up? Any way we can put together a DMVR NLI collective to pay my boy AD Mitchell, rumor here in Georgia, is that Texas and USC tampered and were offering big money. That's a great idea.
I love this idea. I feel like it's how we end up like as part of a 30 for 30 about the NIL.
Yeah.
And I'm in on that.
Yeah. Changing the game.
Like one podcast raised $300,000 just to get one player.
Yeah, we don't want him in SC either, Sean. They've got too many guys.
Can you imagine if instead of thumbs up, we're just like, donate to the collective.
Yeah. Send all your super chats to the collective.
We've got $1,000 today. Let's hit two.
Oh, I love it. That's it. Another good show. We'll be back tomorrow. Friday, I think we're going to go a little earlier.
Oh.
I don't think I've talked to you about this
yet. You have not.
I'm trying to go to me. I'm trying to go to basketball practice on Friday.
Ah, okay. Yeah. All right. That's so, a good excuse.
Yes. Trying to do my job.
There you go.
So we'll be back tomorrow around 3 p.m. Sco Buffs?
Sco Buffs.